Tremendous. Doug, I want you to come on up. It's all your time now, but so if you want to let Kim say something, you can. If you don't trust her, that's up to you.
Amen. Kim, do you want to say something? No? Okay. I didn't think so. Anyways, but no, really, I'd be glad for her too if she wants. But I know she loves, as much as I love Brother Carter and Landmark Baptist Church, if anybody could love it more, I'm sure she does, and love Brother and Mrs. Carter more, because of course she started coming here when she was only about 12, 13 years old. And this is, of course, why she got saved, and her family dedicated their lives to the Lord. And if it wasn't for Brother Carter, well, probably Kim wouldn't be saved at all, wouldn't be serving the Lord. And I just thank God for this church. Man, it's so good to see Brother Paul. Where are you sitting at, Brother Paul? Brother Paul, Miss Tammy? Man, it's good to see you. Man, good to see Brother Paul and Miss Tammy. I didn't know they're good. I haven't seen them in several years. But Brother Paul and Miss Tammy, he was our first youth pastor at our church. And back, goodness, I think he came in 1994. He had just got out of Bible college. And I know he got rich at our church because we gave him $125 a week. And I was getting $175 a week back then. So we were really living it up as far as the money was concerned. But you know he was doing it because he loved God, that's for sure. And Miss Tammy, too. And I think they lost weight, but it wasn't because they're on Weight Watchers, probably because they couldn't buy groceries. But no, it's so good to see them, and hard to believe that their boys, a couple of them are already in Bible college. Wow, that's great. And then Brother Jay Shepherd, where's Brother Jay sitting at? Brother Jay, right next to him. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm looking back here somewhere. Good to see Brother Jay, and man, what a blessing to see them, and I haven't seen him in a long time, but good to see both of these dear friend from years ago. Didn't realize we're going to be here tonight. And I thought about just giving testimonies tonight because it's Thanksgiving and we have so much to be thankful for. But when I heard Mrs. Johnson singing a moment ago, I was thinking about the Johnsons and what a blessing they've been to us. And I remember when we first came to work here at Landmark, I was taught fourth grade when we came. And I remember after we'd been here 3 or 4 months, I only had one pair of shoes. I think I had an old pair of tennis shoes, but only one pair of shoes that, you know, other than tennis shoes to wear, and you know, wearing a tie ever did go with tennis shoes so good. So it's the only pair I wore, and I think I paid less than $10 for them. And they were kind of suede shoes, not hush puppies, nothing fancy like that. Just, I mean, they look like slippers, really. They look like slip-ons. That's all I could afford. That's the only pair of shoes I had. I wore them Sunday, Saturday on the bus route. I wore them every day of the week. And I'd had them for a long time, the only pair of shoes I had, and we had two kids, and me and my wife, and you know, just couldn't afford to buy shoes or anything like that much. And so I remember one day I went to the hospital. Josh had just been in the hospital for 9 days, and so I went there to talk to him about the bill, which wasn't very fun. And so I remember going down that hospital, one of the hospitals around, whichever one it was, and I remember going down the hallway. You know, the hospital's got tile floors, you know, and they're all shiny, and it was I think in the evening or whenever it was, but there was nobody there hardly but me in that whole hallway. And I remember walking down the hallway and my shoe had got so worn that the whole bottom had come off. Every time I'd walk, the flap would come off, the sole would come off, and it hit that thing and it'd go flap, 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 flap. Every time I walk, I was so embarrassed. I was trying to walk on my side of my foot almost. I was like, wow, this is noisy. And so as I was walking, I said, Dear Lord, I just talked to him. I said, Dear Lord, I'm not complaining. Thank you that I have shoes. But Lord, I sure would appreciate it if you'd let me get some more shoes, Lord. And I just prayed a prayer like that, just said that to the Lord. And I guess that was around Wednesday or Thursday. And whatever day it was that we got our check here at Landmark, I went to the box there in the office and I think got the check. But then there was an envelope there. And I didn't know who it was from, but when I opened, I found it was from the Johnson. It said, Dear Brother Doug, she always called me Brother McCormick, even though I'm young enough to be her great-grandson. But anyways, but she said, Dear Brother McCormick, she said, we just wanted to give you some money. There was $60 in it. And she said, $320 bill that I still remember. And she said, just thought you might want to buy some new shoes. How did she notice I needed new shoes? She is really observant. And so I thought $60. I've never paid $60 for shoes in my life. Up there. I'm telling you, my dad got us, forget the name brands. It was a blue light special at Kmart. It was the cheapest shoes you could get. I got the pants passed down from my big brother, and the hem was taken out, so there was a white line around it, and they were still too short. And I was trying to pulling the pants down. I'm the one that started that fad, because it was embarrassing. The kids would laugh at me, call, say I had high waters. I don't know what they call them now. But I tell you, $60 for shoes, man, forget. I got some shoes for about $10 or $15, and I let Kim splurge with it. And, you know, she could do that easy. But man, I was thinking about the Johnsons. What a blessing they are. I was thinking about Brother Marvin Johnson and several other men from the church that came and helped us build our first building and also our second building where we're at. And then, man, I could tell so many stories about Brother and Mrs. Carter and what a blessing they've been to us, and Brother Cohn, and just on and on and on I could go. After we'd been there in Dothan to start a church for just a short time, we'd been there maybe a year and a half, and we were trying to get a mobile home. And nobody would, you know, I didn't have bad credit. I just had like no credit practically because we had almost no income. And so the church didn't pay me a salary, and I was literally living by faith. And so it's kind of hard to convince the bankers you're going to pay, you know, your note. And I said, look, I pay my rent every month, and I don't know how, but we do somehow every month. And you know, I don't have any bad credit or anything, but they were nice and everything, but they just wouldn't give us a loan. Make a long story short, Landmark Baptist Church, Brother Carter, got with the deacons and the church, and you all bought us a brand new mobile home. And Brother Carter, I believe, picked it out himself and shipped it from Lakeland all the way to Dothan, about 400 miles. Gave us a 3.5-ton unit. Brother Jeff Cruz came and Mike Pritchard and helped put it in. This is way back in, 1992, I think it was. And what was such a blessing, Brother Carter, is, of course, we just could not believe it when Brother Carter called and told me that the church had bought us a mobile home. I just was speechless. I could not believe it. I just could not believe it, and neither could my wife when I told her. So whatever it looked like, we would have been thankful. Believe me, if it would have been, you know, the weirdest colors on earth, we would have been thankful for it. It was given to us, and it was a brand new mobile home. If it was used, we would have been thankful. But you know what I'm saying? It was just a beautiful mobile home. But when it pulled up, my wife couldn't wait to see what was on the inside, because all of our decorations that she had was mauve and blue. I mean, all the stuff she put on the wall, you know, the cushion coverings, everything was mauve and blue. And so before we even went in the trailer, she somehow got a ladder or a step stool or something. She stood on it and looked in the window. And would you know, everything in there was country blue and mauve, just like all of her decorations. And you know how good Brother Carter is at decorating, so I'm sure he did that on purpose for us. But seriously, man, that was the Lord right there. That may seem like a small thing, but to my wife, that was like, wow, that just was the icing on the cake. But I could tell so many other testimonies, and of course, above all is the spiritual blessings of Brother Carter and his preaching, his prayers, and of course, so many of you folks here at Landmark. But we love you all very, very much, and wish we could thank you like we want to, and just thank God for what he has done all these years and what he's going to do in the future. But I'd like for you, if you would, to take your Bibles and I only have about 15 minutes, and I'll try very hard to let you out at a good time, because I know tomorrow's Thanksgiving. No doubt you have ladies have a lot of cooking to do probably, and probably a lot of company coming over, things like that. But I hope it'll be a blessing, this message here. Brother Carter was with us and Mrs. Carter for our 25th anniversary. And man, we did have a wonderful 25th anniversary, and man, just a great crowd that was there. And I believe 55 saved that day altogether. And then Brother Carter preached and some others throughout the week, and we just had a great time. And man, I tell you what, our people love Brother and Mrs. Carter. I'm telling you what. You all are so blessed. I hope everyone here at Landmark realizes how blessed you are. You know, it's a sad thing sometimes when you take for granted your own pastor. Man, listen, I'm telling you, Brother Carter has been greatly used of God, not only here, but around the world. Amen. And I guarantee you, if you were to go to a preacher's meeting or something where he goes, I mean, man, I guarantee you'd see people just one after the other getting their Bible signed, lining up, wanting to talk to him, wanting to shake his hand. Man, listen, have you ever got your Bible signed by your own pastor, man? If not, you ought to don't take it for granted, because he is such a blessing. And thank God for Brother and Mrs. Carter. And I know you all do love him very much. And so I know I don't probably need to tell you that, but I just thank the Lord for him. And just want to encourage you to even love him more, and his dear wife. And we thank God so much for them. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. And let's stand together. And I'm only going to read two verses for time's sake here tonight, because the time is very short. And if you would, look at Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1, Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1. This is Paul speaking before King Agrippa, and I wish I had time to read the whole testimony, but for time, I hope you'll forgive me for only reading just a couple verses. And so look at chapter 26, verse number 1. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Lord, pray that you bless this service tonight. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we already heard from Brother Paul, Brother Jay, Lord, and God, the privilege to be here in God's house. God, thank you for the freedom we still have in our nation where we can openly assemble like we are tonight. God, we pray that you would be merciful to our nation and help us to turn back to you while there's still hope, Lord. I pray that, God, you would help us on this Thanksgiving day and week, Lord, that we would be mindful of what Brother Carter just talked about, Lord, the true meaning of Thanksgiving Day, and, God, the thankfulness of those pilgrims and the sacrifice they made so we could have religious liberty in America. And, God, I pray we would not be deceived by all the lies that are put out there by the education system and media and all that. God, we thank you that we know what the founding of our nation is about, how it was founded on Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Bible. I pray that, God, you would help us to do all we can to pray for America and to even fight for America, for our freedom. I pray that, God, you would bless us now. Cleanse me, please, with thy precious blood. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make me a blessing. Help me to somehow be able to say what needs to be said in the very few minutes we have, that it could be a blessing to each one tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to look at just the first four words of verse number 2. And it may seem like an unusual text, but hopefully you'll understand where I'm coming from when we get going here in just a moment. But Paul was speaking before King Agrippa, and of course he was giving a defense because he was there on trial, so to speak. And of course here was the Apostle Paul, and he was in prison. He was in prison. You'd think that he wouldn't be very happy in prison. You'd think that he'd be pretty discouraged in prison. I mean, humanly speaking, in prison is not really, you know, the dream home that you ladies thought about when you got married, right? Or men either. I mean, man, listen, who in the world wants to spend their life in prison? Paul's in prison. He has no earthly idea when he'll get out. He's just in prison, and if you read the previous chapters, boy, he's been through a pretty rough time for quite a long time, for many months. And here he is in prison. He's standing there to speak before King Agrippa, and yet he says these words in verse number 2. He says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." Man, think about those four words, "I think myself happy." Here he is in prison, in jail, and yet he says, "I think myself happy." Now, it is a blessing in itself to realize that Paul the Apostle was happy even though he was in jail. He was happy even though he was in such terrible circumstances. He was rejoicing in the Lord always, and again, he was rejoicing just like he wrote in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Philippians 4:4. He was living what God had spoke to his heart about. He was living and obeying the Word of God. But I want you to think about what that little phrase means to us tonight. "I think myself happy." You know, if you study the English language and study the derivatives of the words, and especially the word thankfulness, you'll see that the old Anglo-Saxon language, the word thankfulness used to have the spelling of thankfulness. Thankfulness and thankfulness. Listen, thankfulness derived from the word thankfulness. And so when you, with that in mind, he said, I think myself happy. You know what he's saying? He said, the reason I'm happy is because I think long enough and I count my blessings, and that thinking turns into giving God thanks. And you know what? Listen, the happy people are the thankful people. The miserable people are the unthankful people. I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Isn't that what he said over there in Philippians 4:8? He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, think on these things. If we think on the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, you know what? We'll be happy. We'll have the joy of the Lord, as he talks about in Philippians chapter 4. Hey, listen, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He doesn't say give thanks about everything or for everything, but he says in everything give thanks. We may not give thanks and be excited about the fact that we find out we have cancer, but in the midst of that discovery of cancer, in the midst of those chemotherapies, in the midst of that that horrible pain and suffering of yourself or your family member or loved one, listen, in the midst of that, we should still give thanks in the midst of it, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that heartache, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many times folks say, man, I just wish I could find the will of God. If I could just know the will of God, I would do it. I'm here to tell you tonight what the will of God for your life is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're giving thanks in everything, whatever God places you in the circumstance now, you know what? You will be, God will make sure he guides you in the perfect will of God as far as the location and geography and every detail of your life. If you live a life where in everything you give thanks, listen, the will of God will be the center of your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks for all things unto God. He says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so Paul the apostle says this, he says, I think myself happy. Hey, think about that tonight. Listen, next time that you're not happy, why don't you stop and think about the goodness of God? Think about the blessing of God. You know what you'll be doing after a while? You'll be thinking yourself happy. You'll be counting your blessings like we sang just a moment ago. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Man, listen, Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Again, thankful people are the happy people. Man, you look at the people that are thankful. Man, listen, they may not have much at all as far as material things, but if they're thankful, they're happy. We used to live in the Philippine Islands when my dad was in the Air Force when I was growing up. And I tell you, those Filipinos, many of them were so poor. I remember one time we were on a church picnic on the base, and it was just mainly the military folks, though our church was probably over half Filipino, but this was just on the base. It was mainly just the military members of our church. And I remember when we got done eating, I mean, all the fried chicken and all the grilled hamburgers and all the cakes and pies. I hate to talk about all this when you're so hungry, but all this good food we were eating there. And man, when we got done, I was just a 10, 11-year-old boy, but I remember when we got done, we ate so much and couldn't eat it all. And you know how it is, and we ended up throwing it away, and they put it in the big dumpster. And I remember just 5 or 10 minutes after they put it in the dumpster, I remember seeing all these little Filipino kids filling that dumpster. And man, as a little boy, that stuck in my mind. I thought, man, what are they doing in that dumpster? I realized they were pulling out those chicken legs that we only ate half of and eating the rest. They were pulling out a hamburger that was all soggy with mustard or mayonnaise or ketchup. But to them, it was like it manna from heaven. I'm telling you what, they were so thankful. And the truth is, I've seen people that are so poor, and yet they have a smile on their face, and they're thankful. And I've seen people with so much, materially speaking, and some of the most miserable people you ever had. Jesus said, listen, a man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. The truth is, if you are thankful, it's not because of what you possess. It's because you have the right heart attitude. It's a state of mind. It's a state of your heart if you're a thankful person. And Paul the apostle, listen, he could have been discouraged. He was in prison. I mean, listen, he'd been beaten. He'd been through all sorts of trials, and he had no idea when he was going to get out of prison. And he stood here before this heathen king, and he said this, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Tonight, I want you to think about the goodness of God. First of all, I want you to think about the goodness of God, about the salvation that you have. Above anything else and everything else we ought to be thankful for, it's because our name is written in heaven. The Bible said the disciples came back one day. They had cast out devils and done many miracles, and they were joy. They were excited about it. Nothing wrong with that. They were excited that God had given them power to cast out devils and to do miracles. And they came back praising the Lord and testifying. And Jesus said this: rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I'm telling you what, listen, if you only rejoice when God gives you some miracle, then when you pray and it doesn't happen right now the way you thought it should happen, you won't be rejoicing. But if you rejoice because your name is written in heaven, you'll never stop rejoicing, because thank God the Bible says when your name is written in heaven, it'll be there for all eternity. God has given you everlasting life. Man, thank God if you have salvation, nobody can take that away from you. Thank God if you've been forgiven. Listen, God will always be your Father. Jesus will always be your Savior. The Holy Ghost of God will always dwell within you. Listen, heaven is your eternal home. That can never change. Thank God you can rejoice above all that your name is written in heaven. If you're here tonight and you're not sure of that, man, listen, before you leave here tonight, make sure your name is written in heaven. If you don't know what being saved is, if you don't know what being born again is, if you don't know what it means to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, man, I beg of you, above all things, get that settled tonight. Because if you had everything else in the whole wide world, but you did not have Jesus, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, listen, but Paul said, man, I think myself happy. When I get discouraged, I'm in prison, I just stop and think about my salvation. No wonder him and Silas at midnight lifted up their voices and sang praises to God and worshiped God and prayed and sang praises at midnight when God sent the earthquake. No wonder, listen, even though they've been beaten at Philippi, and this is a different story, but they've been beaten at Philippi, they thought themselves happy when they started praising God. I'm telling you what, listen, thankfulness is thankfulness. When you start thinking about the goodness of God, you will be thankful. Think about your salvation. How about your freedom and your liberty? Man, listen, I know there's so many things in America that burden us and grieve us. So many things as born-again Christians that break our heart and sometimes just make us flat out mad and ought to make us angry. The Bible said we ought to be angry about the right thing. We ought to have righteous indignation. We ought to hate sin. And listen, it ought to make us angry that the Supreme Court voted that all 50 states and mandated all 50 states to honor homosexual marriage. That ought to make you mad. If it doesn't make you mad, there's something wrong with your Christianity. It ought to make you mad that over 50 million precious innocent babies have been murdered by abortion legally in America. It ought to make you mad that they've taken the Bible and prayer of our public schools. It ought to make you mad that we have a president that seems to honor the Muslim faith and Islam more than he does Christianity, the nation of Israel. It ought to make you mad that people want to take out God from our nation. That ought to make you angry and mad. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Jesus got mad. He went in there with a whip and drove out the people in the temple and said, God said this is supposed to be a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. And I'm telling you what, listen, we ought to get mad about the things like that, but at the same time, I still believe America's the greatest nation by God's grace. Only by God's grace, but we don't deserve it. But by the mercy and grace of God, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Aren't you thankful to be an American? Man, listen, when you get discouraged and you feel like everything's going wrong, stop and just remember this. You live in America. You live in America. You could be living in Iran right now. You could be living in Syria right now. Listen, you could be living over there in Paris right now where they just had those terrible terrorist attacks, the Muslim terrorist attacks. Listen, you could be in Russia or China, but God let you be born in the United States of America, or in some cases come here after you were born and be a part of this great country. Thank God. Man, listen, you ought to think yourself out and say, man, why should I be discouraged? I'm saved. My name's written in heaven. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Why should I be discouraged? I live in America. I've got freedom and liberty. Praise God for God's goodness to me. Oh, listen, we ought to think ourselves happy. Oh, listen, we ought to think about the church God's blessed us with. Thank God that we have the freedom to have church as we know it in America. Man, that's a very rare thing around the world. Listen, I know we might hear about it. We might just kind of be in the back of my mind. But honest to goodness, listen, way over half the world's population, I don't know the exact percentage, but I guarantee way, way, way beyond half the world's population does not have the liberties and freedoms we have to have church just like we're having tonight, where the preacher can stand and preach whatever he believes with no government interference, where we can run Sunday school buses and knock on doors and pass out tracts, have Christian schools, Christian colleges. Hey, listen, we ought to thank God. Hey, listen, thank God for our church. Thank God that we have a church to come to, and thank God for a church like Landmark Baptist Church. Man, you ought to thank God. Listen, I'm telling you what, of all the churches in America, I truly believe this is absolutely one of the greatest churches in the entire nation. I mean, Brother Carter is my favorite preacher in the whole world, my favorite pastor. He's my pastor. He's my wife's pastor. He's our home pastor, our sending church, and he's been faithful to God for all these years. Man, listen, if you've never read that book that he's written, you ought to read that book and see the miracles and the answers to prayer, and that's just skimming the surface. I'm telling you, listen, what a blessing to have a man of God that walks with God, that's seen God do supernatural miracles in his life and his family and the ministries of this church. This church is a miracle. And I'm telling you, I thank God for your church. And then you ought to thank God for God's provisions. Oh, listen, when you're discouraged, think yourself happy. Think about your salvation. Think about America and the freedom we have. Think about your church and your church family and your pastor. Hey, listen, think about the goodness of God in your life. Think about God's provisions. Oh, listen, I could tell so many stories, but I just want to share one. I remember when we first had moved to Dothan, Alabama. It's a long story, but God had led us to Dothan to start a church, and we had actually come to Landmark and joined Landmark once again. We had been in another church for a couple years, and we came here, and I asked Brother Carter, could you all be our sending church? And we came here, and of course, this is where my wife grew up, and her family has attended since, man, back in the 70s and so forth. And so we came here, we got married here, and worked on staff here for a while. And so we came back, and I remember we went to Dothan. We had stuff in a little trailer, a 6x12 trailer and a 5x8 trailer. Everything we had, we put in there with two kids, and we stuck it in a storage shed. We didn't have enough money to get a rental house, but I borrowed a $100 bill, and I gave it to the realtor. We came back here, and I thought, well, I don't know how we're going to get the rest of the money, but thank God somebody gave us $1,000. I'll tell you who it was. It was actually my father-in-law. I didn't ask him for it, but Brother Wren, we were just talking, and he said, how are you going to pay the rent and security deposit on that house and this and that? I said, I don't know. We're just praying about it, and he gave us $1,000. Man, thank God. That was over 25 years ago, and so I took that money. I was so excited, and we went up there and gave the rest of the money to the besides that $100 down that we had put on that house. And man, it was a house for $300 a month. Man, that house was filthy. I mean, it had been vacant for 3 or 4 months. The grass was so tall, nobody had mowed the grass for probably 4 months, and it was July. And man, it was tall. My wife walked in there with white socks, and she came with black socks on because her feet were full of fleas. It was infested with fleas. On top of that, they had left raw garbage, including bad diapers in there. There was maggots crawling all over the house. And that was our house. That's where we're going to live. And so, man, listen, we went in there. Of course, we cleaned it out the best we could and got rid of the fleas and cleaned things out. My wife bleached everything. Bleached the carpet, bleached the wall. He said, you don't bleach carpet. You couldn't hurt that carpet. I mean, it was such bad shape. We just cleaned it out. And we put our stuff in there. And man, listen, we were excited. And man, there we were. But man, after we got in, by the time we gave the security deposit, the rent, got the utilities cut on. You know, we never did get the gas cut on. We never had heat in that house for a year and a half. Never had heat because we couldn't afford to get the gas cut on. And so we used a little space heater or fireplace. And it gets a little bit cold in Dothan once in a while, down in the 20s and 15 and stuff like that once in a while. But listen, we got by. We just didn't have the money to do it. But we did get the utilities, the light and the electric and the water turned on. And there we were. And we were in the house. We're all excited. And then we thought, we don't have any money left. How are we going to buy groceries? I promise you, to my knowledge, we did not have $1, not $1 to our name. We did not have a credit card. I know that sounds good not to have a credit card in a way, maybe, because you're not in debt, but it comes in handy when you're real hungry, you know what I'm saying? Max it out, pray for the rapture, amen? But anyway, but seriously, I mean, so man, we didn't have any credit cards. I thought, what are we going to do? We couldn't even pray for mail, Brother Carl. We didn't have a mailbox out front. No mail. We had no phone. We didn't have a phone in the house, no mailbox. No cell phone, nothing like that back then, but no regular phone, you know, the old-fashioned phone, landline phone, no phone, no mailbox. I couldn't pray for money to come in the mail. I couldn't call anybody. I didn't know what to do. And my wife and I, like, what are we going to do? And we had two kids, 3 and 4 years old, and man, here we are. We had enough. We got in the house, and here we are. Don't know a soul hardly in town except a few people we met in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And man, here we are. How are we going to buy groceries? My wife said, wait a minute, I just thought of something. Said, Pappy, that's what the kids call Brother Wren, Pappy had been saving pennies, and there's a jar of pennies in there. And he gave it to Beth and Josh. They were only 3 and 4 years old. When we were just down in Florida, he gave that jar of pennies to them. said, oh man, we can take that and buy groceries with it. You said you shouldn't take the kids' money. Don't ever tell them I stole their money. But anyways, but we got it, and I wasn't gonna go down to the grocery store and dump out all them pennies on the counter. So I went down to the bank. We didn't have an account yet. Didn't have money to open an account. We went down to the bank, and they'll give you free penny rollers. And I got penny rollers. I brought it home. We rolled all those pennies. It was almost exactly $20 worth of pennies. And so we went down to Winn-Dixie grocery store. I don't know if you have those here, but Winn-Dixie grocery store. And we bought as much as we could for $20. And we didn't have any idea where we were going to get any more grocery money after this. So we got the good stuff, you know. We got long noodle soup, you know, seven packs for a dollar, six packs for Roman numerals or whatever you call those things. And so we got those, and we got macaroni and cheese, and we got, you know, a couple loaves of bread. And man, I think we got a couple packs of hot dogs, no hot dog buns, but just that we got some tea bags and sugar. We're going to have sweet tea if nothing else. And there we were, $20 worth of groceries. That's all we had in the house. And we were okay, and we started eating that food. We didn't know where we were going to get any more money for food. And so we'd been eating on that and drinking, and I was trying to do things, look for a building, try to figure out. We hadn't started the church yet. We'd only been there just about 4, 5, 6 days. And man, there we were, and we were doing okay, but just eating a lot of long noodle soup and eating a lot of toast and stuff. And our daughter Bethany was 4, and she came in the kitchen, and she looked up at her mama and said, Mama, how come before we moved here, we had all sorts of good things to eat, like chips and stuff? To her, chips and stuff was like really good food, you know? You can tell we're health food nuts. And so chips and stuff, and now all we got to eat is toast. Oh, I'm telling you what, it broke my wife's heart. I overheard it. I went in the room, and I shut the door, and I flipped over my Bible to Matthew chapter 6, my favorite chapter in the Bible. And I flipped it over to Matthew chapter 6, where it says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or for your body, what you shall wear. God said, listen, after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither they sow, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Consider the birds. God looks after the birds. Are ye not much better than they? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I knelt down with Matthew chapter 6 and read those verses on my knees and said something like this to God. I said, dear God, Lord, I'm not complaining, Lord. You've been so good to me and my wife and family, Lord, but our children, they don't understand, Lord. God, I'm not complaining. We're going to be all right. I know we're not starving. We got some food to eat, Lord, but God, our children understand. Would you please, for their sake, give us some more food, God? Would you please help us, God? We came here to start a church, God, and I know it seems crazy to come to a city, never don't know a soul, and come here to start a church, come 1,000 miles from where we started out to start a church, God, and God, here we don't have any money whatsoever, God. I don't know what to do. About that time, the door opened. It was my wife. While I was on my knees, I wasn't praying for hours. I was probably on my knees for about 10 or 15 minutes, reading those few verses and praying. And she said, you won't believe what just happened. Well, she said, when you came in and shut the door, she said, about 5 minutes later, somebody knocked on the door. Look on the counter, and there was several bags of groceries on the counter. God being my witness. Oh, listen, my wife knows this is the truth, and our daughter Bethany, I don't know if Josh remembers, he was only 3, but that lady we'd never seen before, she came by, and she had already left by the time I came out, and there we looked in through the bags, and man, they were not just food, it was not just food, it was like our favorite foods. It was like if we'd gone to the grocery store and picked it out. I'm talking about like there was chicken in there, you know, stuff like that. I love chicken. I mean, man, there was, I mean, hamburger. It wasn't like leftovers like people give their sacrificial gift at Thanksgiving, you know, an old rusty can of squid legs or something like that. You know, I'll give it to the poor and needy, you know. Man, it was good food. And man, there it was. And man, what a blessing. And man, we had all that food. Man, listen, we had only been there about 3 or 4 or 5 days. And man, God just kept on providing and kept on providing. And I'm telling you, well, listen, God has been so good to us. Man, I'm telling you what, God is good to you. He's good to me. He's good to all of us. Man, hasn't been God good to us? Man, hasn't he given us so many blessings? Man, listen, when you get discouraged, think about that song, Count Your Many Blessings. That's what he's saying. I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Stop and think about their salvation. Think about that you live in America, the freedom and blessing we have. Think about your church and your pastor and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about the goodness of God. Think about the testimonies that you could come up here and share if we had time tonight. Probably every one of the Christians here tonight could count many blessings and name miracles and blessings God's given to you and count those blessings. And I'm telling you what, before long, you'll stop complaining. You'll be happy. You'll be praising God. That's what the Apostle Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself, I hope that tonight, when we leave here tonight, we'll just leave here thanking God. And when we go into Thanksgiving, we'll truly be thankful. And we won't just have Thanksgiving Day, but we'll really have Thanksgiving Day. I mean, we'll really be thankful Oh, listen, dear one here tonight with tired eyes or poor eyesight, somebody is blind today that would love to have your eyes. One who is hard of hearing, someone is deaf today. You with a toothache, someone has no teeth today. One here with a limp in your step, someone has no legs today. You with an ingrown toenail, someone is without a foot today. You complain about America's imperfections, someone is a citizen of Red China or Syria or Iran today. One with a frustrating job, millions are unemployed today. You with a leaking roof, someone is homeless today. You with car trouble, this evening, the majority of the world's population will never even own a car. Oh, listen, you who complain about an imperfect church and pastor, billions have never even heard the gospel one time. Somebody said this, I grumbled because I had to get up in the morning until one morning I could not get up. Oh, listen, we ought to thank God for his goodness to us. The Apostle Paul said, I think myself happy. Let's pray together. Lord, bless this message to our hearts. Help us to truly be thankful, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day would be Thanksgiving Day for us as Christians. God, I want to thank you for your goodness to me and to my family, but really and truly, you've been good to all of us. If there's one not saved today, I pray that today that would be the day that their name would be written in heaven, that they would get saved. And those of us that are, God, if we have nothing else that we can think of to be